As was mentioned, today is a very special Sunday, and you all know that by the fact that Reverend Derek's actually wearing a tie today. I've heard several people already who said, "What are you wearing a tie for today?" And then David Okamoto shows me up by wearing a suit today. I was like, oh, well, I tried anyway. So today is a very special day as we celebrate the work of ACRS. This year is the 45th anniversary of their work in this community, and so we're celebrating that and giving thanks. And we were able to have Diane Narasaki to come to be with us. She's the executive director of ACRS. And it is also a celebration as well for her work here in this community. She's coming to the end of her term and is retiring after 23 years of service to this community. There's a short... This is a short insert that I pulled up from our local newspapers in the International District about Diane and her work at ACRS, and so I want to invite you to take a look at that. The one on the front that says, "Diane Narasaki reflects on 20 years of leadership," there actually is an extension of that article, so I hope you'll go online and take a look at the article. It's actually an interview in which Diane answers some questions from a reporter and talks a little bit about what's going on in our communities and in this world right now, and has some concerns that she continues to lift up as she thinks about her work, not just as it's been, but also as ACRS and other community organizations look to the future. And so we're so blessed to have Diane here with us today, and so I want to welcome you, Diane, and have you come forward and share a few words with us, and let me give you this lei as a symbol of our church's
thank you.
Welcome to you, and yeah, thank you for coming. Yeah, okay, yeah. So go on up, you can please.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's really a great privilege and honor to be here with you this morning. I'd really like to thank Blaine for Blaine's critical support for ACRS from our very beginnings. And I'd like to begin my remarks with reflections that are shared by some of our founders in this room. Thank you so much to Sue Tomita for being here today. For Blaine, member Dave Okimoto, who is a founder and one of the first executive directors long-term. Thank you to Sharon Maeda for asking the Blaine board if we might begin to offer services here, and Reverend Miyake and the board for allowing it. I'd like to begin my remarks with showing episode one of a series of videos that Blaine member Alice Ikeda and her creative partner Brad have been creating to explore various aspects of the work and people that are so central to ACRS. And you'll notice in this episode not only Dave and Sue's insights, but also Blaine itself as a central reason for ACRS's service to the world. So if we can begin the episode, that'd be great.
The late 60s were a time of a lot of social activism, and that's what people did.
It was a really exciting time. We were out on the streets about civil rights issues, social justice issues, and my classroom was really the streets.
ACRS did emerge out of the social justice movement because we were portrayed as a model minority. Asians were put up as, you know, being these wonderful folks who didn't have problems, and other communities did have problems.
I feel that we were wrongfully pitted against other ethnic groups. We had our share of problems, but we couldn't prove it.
So as a way to combat that myth that we are the model minority, we really felt that if we put something in place, like mental health care for Asians, that folks would turn out.
My boss at Harborview Mental Health Center, Dr. Lindbergh Sata, he said, "Well, Asians aren't coming into Harborview, so where are they? Where shall we find them?" We found out that this church named Blaine United Methodist Church might be willing to allow us to use some of their space to attract people from this area, the Beacon Hill area, where there are a lot of people of color. The way we did it was Dr. Sata took a $20 bill out of his pocket and he said, go buy some green tea. And that's how he did it. He said, go buy some green tea and serve it to the customers. Every week I was here and made tea and waited for someone to come. No one came. No one came for several weeks. And eventually, a woman came. She was Japanese American. She came and very nicely asked if there was actually free counseling. And I said, yes, please come in. And so it didn't matter that we were sitting in these tiny for children, chairs for children with a desk like that. And we had a nice conversation. I don't think she knows what a gift she was to me. I was absolutely thrilled that Dr. Sata was right and that perhaps we had a good thing going here. Word got around that it was kind of a fun place to work. So we got quite a few students and other clinicians like Dave to come and volunteer. This was quite unique to have Asian clients, Asian clinicians, Asian instructors, all in one room.
And so it was fledgling in those days, and we borrowed space, we used supplies from the university where I was teaching. I mean, ACRS became the entity that the community kind of relied on.
We didn't know what to do next, and we were encouraged by the United Way staff to write a demonstration grant proposal. By the time we wrote the grant, we had maybe over 70 clients, and they were extremely pleased with that number because before that, no one knew whether or not there were mental health problems in the Asian community. So we received a grant. Our first grant was, I remember it being about $3,000. We were so happy.
You know, I think they made a commitment that yes, this is an organization we want to place a bet on.
As we expanded to serve not just the Japanese, Chinese, and Filipino communities, but the refugee communities, I think ACRS is doing a great job in ways that are culturally appropriate and linguistically accessible to folks that are in need.
Looking back, I've thought about this over the years, you know. For the executive director of a mental health center to take $20 out of his pocket and to say, buy tea, those were his first orders. What does that tell you? He knew that there were elements that were not present in his mental health center at Harborview that we could provide elsewhere and perhaps make them feel more comfortable.
So thanks to Alice for that beautiful video and all of the participants in it. So from our very beginnings, as you could see, with volunteers offering mental health services at Blaine, ACRS has grown to a professional staff of nearly 300 with over 700 volunteers who collectively speak close to 40 languages and dialects spoken by the 35,000 people that we reach annually. We primarily serve the Asian American Pacific Islander community, but we also serve clients from every community, including African Americans and African refugees and immigrants, Latinos, Native Americans, and white community members. 92% of our Asian American Pacific Islander community is either immigrant, refugee, or the children of immigrants and refugees. So it's no accident that we primarily serve immigrants and refugees, but we also serve American-born and naturalized citizens. The majority of the people that we serve are very low income. We've expanded our services from our nationally recognized mental health services, nationally recognized for being able to provide culturally competent services in the languages spoken by our clients for all generations, but to services like employment services, nutrition services, services for seniors and youth, and citizenship and civic engagement activities. Blaine remains a very important reason why we're able to reach so many with our services. So for instance, our nutrition services include our food bank, sited in the International District, which feeds over 5,000 people every year. It's the only food bank in the area which regularly offers rice and API staples, which feed not only the body, but the soul. Thanks to our Walk for Rice fundraiser established by Blaine member Sam Mitsui and Chinese Baptist members Herb and Bertha Tsuchia. Every year, thanks to all of you who participate on the Blaine team, hundreds of thousands of dollars are raised for our food bank. And since the time of its founding, the Walk for Rice has now raised over $1 million to feed hungry people in our community. Every year, Blaine member Jerry Lee also organizes friends and around the holidays distributes hundreds of roast chickens to our food bank clients who are so very grateful to receive that and the other gifts of love from Jerry and his friends. Our food bank participants are mainly seniors, including people up to their 90s and kids. We serve homeless people, also many low-income people who work for a living but can't make ends meet. Our nutrition program also includes senior group meals programs in several locations, including Club Bamboo daily at our ACRS site just down the street on Martin Luther King Jr. Way South. Seniors gather not only for hot, nutritious ethnic meals, but also they gather to be able to speak with friends and family, community members in their own languages, to celebrate within their own cultures, to exercise, dance, sing, make art, and break the social isolation that they might otherwise experience due to language and cultural barriers. Our seniors also hold annual celebrations like the Tet celebration, Vietnamese New Year's, which this past year was held in the Jerry Lee Activity Center. And that was, as Reverend Derek can tell you, a really joyous occasion with over 200 guests, really happy Vietnamese seniors who were there to celebrate their cultures, also to preserve their culture and share it with the next generation. Blaine's donation of over $11,000 in a previous year from the bazaar also supported our food bank's ability to provide food for our community's most vulnerable members. Our aging services also include case management to help seniors stay as healthy and happy in their own homes for as long as possible, and the management of independent care providers who are hired by seniors and paid by the state to offer services. So we help these critically needed caregivers to train to get the certification that they need to be able to provide the services. And we've done so thanks to Blaine's help. We've trained over 600 caregivers in many languages here at Blaine who offer services to more than 600 clients. We have also been able to offer CPR training to save lives through the volunteers who've taken that training. located here at Blaine. Our Children, Youth, and Family Services help youth to recognize and build on the strength of their cultural heritages and identities, often balancing the cultures of their parents and grandparents and American norms that are sometimes at odds with each other. We help them to recognize the markers and develop healthy relationships and to avoid or prevent violence in its many forms, including dating, sexual and domestic violence, gang violence, and the like, and to develop their leadership and expression. This summer, our youth program was able to use Space at Blaine for activities for 30 middle school and high school youth who use Blaine's space to learn about what makes healthy relationships in our community. Our citizen and civic engagement programs help lower the barriers to naturalization, voter registration, voter education, voting, and full participation in our democracy, just as our services lower the barrier to services for people in our community. And thank you to Jill Nishi and others who serve on our Asian American Pacific Islander Democracy Initiative that helps to make sure that all of us, regardless of our language, culture, origin, religions, beliefs, can participate in our democracy. So this program helps our community members to become citizens, register to vote, hear from candidates through multilingual candidate forums so that they can make informed decisions on how to vote. They participate in multilingual ballot parties so that they can get through the ballot, and they participate in phone banking in several languages to help get out the vote, because Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders have a voice, we have a right to use it, and we are the swing vote here in Washington State and in many critical elections across the country. It is vital that we all turn out and use our vote. Blaine members have been involved in our civic engagement activities as well. Although our mental health services and our recovery services for those with substance use disorder, those using our employment and citizenship programs don't use Blaine's space inside the building, everybody is really grateful for Blaine's allowing our clients and staff to use the parking lot during the weekday when it isn't used as much by the church. It is so critical in making our services accessible to as many people as possible. As I mentioned, we now reach over 35,000 people, and we have not only our main office just down the hill on MLK, but also offices in Bellevue and Kent. And we serve people throughout the state, although primarily in Seattle and South King County. People have literally driven from Spokane to Seattle just to receive our services because of the language and cultural match. We are extremely grateful to Blaine for everything that you have done to help us to be an effective community partner, to reach as many people as possible with life-giving and life-saving services, and to make sure that we are all able to use our voices to participate in our democracy. We really can't thank you enough. And we also want to thank you for allowing for this year's Bazaar proceeds to celebrate our client services. I would like to close now with another episode of our video series. This is episode 3, called The Letter. And in it, various community leaders like Blaine member Lori Matsukawa and other community leaders and partners reflect on ACRS in its 45th anniversary. We are so honored and grateful to be able to recognize Blaine at our 45th anniversary gala for all that you have made possible over these last 45 years. Thank you very much. I think we can show the video now.
Dear ACRS.
Dear ACRS.
亲爱的 ACRS.
I'm a first-generation Filipino-American.
I am a television news anchor.
I am a lawyer at Dorsey & Whitney.
Soy una concejal para la ciudad de Seattle.
I'm a third-generation Japanese-American and the dean of the University of Washington School of Social Work.
I love Pokemon.
I'm a mom, a grandma, a great-grandma, and I'm still kicking.
I heard you were celebrating your 45th anniversary.
I wanted to write you this letter to share how you impacted my life.
And impacted the community.
45 years ago, the world was a very different place.
This community was a different place.
Immigrants and refugees were ashamed to seek help, and our options for true community were limited.
The founders of ACRS changed all of that.
A small group of students, activists, and volunteers, many from the UW School of Social Work, came together to create a very different kind of agency.
One that removed cultural and language barriers for Asian American and Pacific Islanders.
You restored a sense of identity by providing culturally relevant services and continue to address social issues affecting our lives today.
The community is always changing. There are always new waves of immigration.
They're always moving because of the expansion of the services.
How people can learn English, they can attend citizenship classes, they can come here and have a meal for seniors.
There's a place to get mental health counseling, job training, vocational skills. There's an incredible food bank that they operate.
And how it's stocked with foods that are culturally familiar, like rice and tofu and produce.
The passion that they bring to their client service and seeing how those programs have grown over the years, it's been truly inspiring.
My life changed on 9/11. And ACRS was one of the leaders in that space in terms of advocating for the rights of the people who were being targeted at that time.
So they're a mobilizer, they're an instigator.
Do whatever you can so that they do not have to tolerate some of the abuse and discrimination that the early Chinese and Japanese faced in this country.
They will do what is right, and it takes a lot of courage, it takes a boldness, it takes a fearlessness. ACRS playing that role in the community is democracy at its finest.
너는 어두움의 소망이 되고 세상의 밝은 빛이다.
ACRS helped me realize that I wanted to put something in the world.
We won't be here forever, and it's important for us to make sure that we are passing along our traditions and our culture and our commitment to advocacy to our youth so that they can lead the charge in the years to come.
ACRS, you're a really fun place to hang out.
It teaches us life skills and helps us bond with our friends.
If I were to compare ACRS to the Pokemon world, Will would probably be Professor Oak, and then Vanity might be like his assistant, and then, I don't know, me and my friends, they're probably just trainers.
You probably know the saying, how well a society is measured is based on how well they treat the elders and children.
It means everything.
ACRS, you've grown so much.
45 years later, you've gone from a fledgling grassroots group
to an internationally recognized one that touches over 32,000 people like me every year.
You don't turn anyone away.
You don't turn anyone away.
You don't turn anyone away.
Including kids like me.
I know that because I've sent people down here.
You give hope, opportunity, and voice in over 40 languages.
Hey, Mom. Oportunidad.
Pinoy.
Thank you for fighting for equity and social justice every day.
I am ACRS.
We are ACRS.
We are
ACRS.
We are ACRS.
Our thanks to Diane for coming to share such a powerful testimony. And really, Diane is so very humble. You know, I asked her for a bio, and she kept forgetting to answer my emails. And then I figured I could find something online, and I can't find anything online. Diane is so humble. There's not even really a bio for her on the ACRS website, and that's because Diane is always pointing to the work and pointing to the organization rather than to herself. But it is clear that her leadership has helped ACRS to be an important part of how our community continues to serve. And we're so grateful and thankful to celebrate not just the 45th anniversary, but also the 23 years that Diane has been serving this community in such a powerful and profound way. And so we want to thank you, Diane, for coming to be a part of that. We wanted to show our appreciation, and we were trying to think of a good way to do it. We thought, well, we could give you a blank apron, but then we thought, oh, no, that would make you feel like you had to come to work, and, you know. So we were trying to think of a good way to recognize you as in a blank sort of way. And so I'm going to invite forward Glenn Mitsui. Glenn Mitsui is the son of Sam, and he is an artist, and he is a child of this church. And so we thought, what a wonderful way to honor your service than to give you a print from Glenn as a recognition for all of your work. And so this is original from Glenn Mitsui. So
made me talk about this. So when you think of the ocean, I always think of the rhythm of the waves and how waves turn rock to sand. And, you know, what you've done has been waves of love and care for the community that has changed the environment below the surface. So that's it.
Thanks so much. Okay. Wanted to share a brief script reading and a short word with all of you in reflecting on what Diana shared. This comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians in the third chapter. And so I'm going to read the script reading, and I'll give a short explanation and tie it all together with that. And so this is Paul who is talking in his letter to the Corinthians about his life as a disciple and talking as well about his work in community as he seeks to serve. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, but you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not of the flesh, and behaving according to human inclinations. For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Paul said, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters has a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants working together. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. So in this passage, Paul and Apollos are two disciples of Jesus. Also, there's another disciple in the mix. His name is Cephas. And there's an argument happening amongst their followers. And that argument is basically this. Which one of the disciples, the apostles, is greater? Is Paul greater than Apollos? Is Apollos greater than Cephas? And the followers begin to have this argument. And Paul really wants to quell this argument by helping them to understand that this argument, it's meaningless, it's silly, it doesn't make any sense when it comes right down to it, because we all serve with gifts and talents that are given to us by God, but our desire always is to work together and to know that it is not us who are glorified, but it is God who is glorified by the work that we are able to do. And so Paul tells them, what difference does it make, really? Who is the one who is making more disciples or doing better work? When it comes right down to it, it is the work that we are able to do together in partnership through common purpose that gives God glory. For we as a church, we know one of our missions to be that we would make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, and through prayer and through worship and through study, through what we do together in community, we seek to do that. We seek to fulfill that mission. We work with community partners and other church organizations and institutions that work with us to try to build disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. But what we are reminded about as well is an equally important mission is for we as a church to stand in solidarity with those who are on the margins of society. You heard the scripture reading that Caitlin read at the very beginning. It reminds us of Jesus' words to the disciple that reminds us always that we are called to stand with those who are needy, those who are underserved, those who are in prison and in hospitals, those who are seeking after a fulfillment in life that they cannot find, that we are there as well to serve in that way. Our mission is as much that as it is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We bring them together in the ministry of the church, but we realize that when we work in partnerships, we want to work with those who are not just with us in a faith-based way, but also know as well that we want to work with partners who desire to fulfill a mission, maybe not from a perspective of their own Christian faith, but coming from a perspective that desires to serve and see our community reach a sense of fulfillment in all that they are. We realize that that call given to us calls us to make partnerships in this community, to work with others who enable us to continue to fulfill that mission. We realize in all of the ways that we are called to serve that it is in the resources that we are able to provide through our people power, through our financial resources, through the things that we can donate, through the use of our church building, that we can find ways to support those who are doing great works in this community, whose resources are far and away more than we can provide, who do things that we are not able to do in this church's ministry. But when we are providing support, we extend the church's ministry out to those in our community who are doing those great works. Today we've heard a witness that comes from ACRS, and it reminds us of the great work that is being done in our community and the historic relationship between Blaine Memorial and ACRS. One of the part of the video that that I didn't know myself was that in the first video it described Dr. Sata. Many of you know that Dr. Sata is Roberta Yoshioka's father. And so there is a historic connection as well through that, through Dave Okimoto and through Sharon Maeda and through Jerry Lee and through many who are continuing to provide not just of their financial resources, but as well their volunteerism. We realize that there is, in many ways, a deep connection between what ACRS is doing and how it is that we as a church desire to see our community flourish and realize that it is in working in those kinds of partnerships, the kinds of partnerships that enable that work to expand and to grow and to move in places where it had not moved before, we realize that that is a gift of who we are in this community. And that is a part of who we as Blaine Memorial desire to be. When I came to this church 11 years ago, I was coming from California. I know that's a bad thing to say around here. I was coming from California, and I had not a lot of idea about what this church was about and what Seattle was about. And when I came to this church, I was sitting amongst some folks in a leadership meeting. And as we were talking, I realized that we were having this conversation, and I wanted to talk about the future of Blaine. And I said, well, you know, the reality is that, you know, we have more of our folks who are moving out to the east side. So maybe it will be that one day that Blaine Memorial will move itself to the east side. And one of the seniors who was in the meeting looked at me with that face and went, and the senior was telling me just by that look alone that Blaine is rooted here in Beacon Hill for a reason. And though we have many of our church folks, including that person living on the east side, that Blaine is rooted here in Beacon Hill for a reason. It's a part of who we are and what we are about. And our work with ACRS is a reflection of who we want to be as a church. And realize what a great gift it is. As I was reading up on ACRS and I was listening to Diane talk, the thing that came to me was, think about the services that ACRS now provides. Citizenship services, mental health services, services for the seniors and for children, services in civic engagement and legal services. When you think a little bit about that, think about the history of this church. We have been here for 114 years, and it was at that time when those kinds of services were not available. Where do you think the Iseis went, the first generation Japanese immigrants went, when they needed mental health services, when they needed support in their community, when they were looking for legal help, when they were looking for help when they were struggling and suffering? They came to the church. And we realize that the continued changes and challenges of our community, they remind us that those problems, they continue to grow. And we realize as well that who we are called to be is all of those things for a community, but realizing as well that when we work in partnership with ACRS, it goes well beyond the bounds of this building and is reaching out into community in a profound way. And so this day is a day for us to celebrate the work of ACRS, and we find great joy in knowing that we as a